started in here.
I used to listen to other morning shows, baby, but there was something missing. They were old, they were dull and boring, maybe I just couldn't listen. Then I found the best show around, Justice Drew and Samantha, got my morning attention. And I'm gonna listen to Justice and Drew, it's the only show I listen to. I won't miss a beat, I'm just gonna keep it on Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And Dilly Dilly.
All right with me.
Can you dig it?
Wow, would
just
you look at that?
Dilly yelling.
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, your roundtable edition. We've got Representative Nick Zerwas. We've got comedian Brian Miller all coming in the starting in the 7 o'clock hour for Roundtable Classic. In your post Last Jedi glow edition.
Yeah, man.
John has been just a nonstop chatterbox over there since we came
in. I wasn't going to be. I was in the middle of doing my notes and just. I had shut myself off.
And then I come in and I'm like, John, let's talk Star Wars.
Well, that's not necessarily. It's actually, you did, but it's Drew started it because Drew came in. He's like, "Are you okay? Are you fine?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I just, it's, I
wasn't sure if I was going to see. I didn't know if just the ecstasy of The Last Jedi might have overwhelmed you.
I am a radio professional and I can turn it on and off. And
can you?
Yeah, I did. I had to turn off the podcast I was listening to when I got here and to switch to music just to get my mind on the things that we need to discuss on the show this morning, like net neutrality and the Hennepin County Attorney General not having enough to file charges against Officer Knorr and dumb streetcars. But yeah, Drew came in and then got me going on my Star Wars hype train. No spoilers. But man, what a.
It was fun.
Few movies can just, and I know because we're fans and I'm an uber fan, but just a movie like that, when you wait for it for 2 years and it's just, oh, yeah. It's such a ride. My heart was pumping the whole time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's a Star Wars movie. So go into it expecting it to be like a Star Wars movie. It's got its highs, it's got its lows, it's got its ups, it's got its awesome scenes, it's got its scenes that kind of make you go, huh? You know, so it's got all of it. It's a really fun ride. I almost feel like the anticipation, for me, just for me.
Right.
The anticipation almost worked against it. Because I've been anticipating and looking forward, and there's been so much hype around this movie. And especially in the last week when people started to see some screeners and some media, and it was the oh my God reaction by so many people. So I'm going into it with certain expectations of having, like, my mind blown. And I understand why people had those reactions, but I feel like I was anticipating it a little more than it delivered.
This feels...
I literally don't know how much more you could have asked for. I was like...
Yeah, you were blown away.
Yeah, I was blown away.
Sam, this whole conversation right now feels a little bit like post-election day.
Oh my gosh, it does!
Right? But we're like, hashtag Last Jedi.
Yes!
Right? Yeah. It's just fine. It makes sense.
Line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I'm with you. This movie for me as a fan, it's going to take some digesting. Has the potential to be my favorite.
And there were moments where I was just like, "What? Oh my gosh!"
It hands down has already on one viewing some of my favorite Star Wars movie moments.
So good.
It destroyed already at the box office. It's not quite to where The Force Awakens was on its Thursday night opening.
But to be fair, that was the first one back in a long time.
Right, and the projections are getting really close, but it's going to do just fantastic at the box office. And
of course, it's going to be a juggernaut.
one of the great guys we work with, AJ, who we've had on the show before, he came in right as the movie started. I didn't realize he was sitting right behind me. So we got done.
Did you guys know that you were going to see it at the same theater?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. We bought the tickets that night, and I told him about the
together?
About the no, we were texting back and forth.
Cute.
And he didn't know that there was a 6 o'clock viewing you could go to, and he was bringing his family.
Oh.
And so I told him where my seats were, and he ended up getting seats behind me. But yeah, I mean, we both were just kind of like, oh, that was a lot to absorb. So great though, it's just great, just fantastic escapism in the middle of all the nonsense. And again, just fun. It's cool to know that this thing that so many people love, that is connected with so many people, has a future, because they've really established a future. I can't imagine they don't make more of these types of saga films along this thread even after 9 is done with what they set up in this movie. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Go see it. It's a lot of fun. You'll love it. You'll have a great time. It's a blast. I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah. 11:30.
Today.
And today.
11:30.
And then tomorrow morning at 9:30.
I'm not seeing that.
And then I have to buy movie pass so that I can see it a whole bunch.
How many times do you think that you'll see it this year?
I saw The Force Awakens 12 times in the theater.
What? You did?
Yeah, it was like in competition with my dad, because my dad would text me number 7. I'd be like, ah. So then I go see it, and I'd be like, number 8. So we had this battle going back and forth. So it's really ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
If I get MoviePass, I'll probably rival that. I have a problem.
You need more hobbies.
I have a problem. Well,
how many times did you see a Star Wars movie in the theater more than once in one day?
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen. I mean, a 24-hour period, yes, but not in a single day. I don't think I've ever seen it back to back. So we're going to get into Nick Zuros is going to be joining us a little bit later on in the hour. We've got a guest calling in with some legislation that they are working on when it comes to veterans' funerals. We'll get to that. Also, we will talk a bit about the net neutrality vote that took place yesterday. I had a chance to catch some of the hearing from the FCC after the bomb threat was called in. People are so stupid over this net neutrality issue. I mean, so ignorant and so dumb. I think that a lot of people believe that this has been here since the inception of the internet. They don't realize that, no, man, we were trucking along just fine without net neutrality for a long, long time. So we'll break down some of what took place yesterday and the ridiculous criticism against that. You know, and as Drew said, we got the roundtable joining us in studio.
Yeah,
Brian Miller and Nick Zuros.
The parody song contest at 8:35 this morning.
Yeah, the top five this morning is going to be special from Sam because she's been scouring the internet with a lightsaber.
We'll bring you the top five stories you need to know for a Friday next, right here on Twin Cities News Talk. Justin. News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. Really looking forward to a Roundtable Classic coming in today. Nick Zuros, Brian Miller at 7 o'clock. I think Nick will actually be here a little bit early because we're going to talk to Troy Walker at 6:45 this morning about some really important legislation that Troy and Representative Zuros are working on together.
Yeah, and later in the show, I'm excited to talk about the fact that there was more approvals of streetcars. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Oh, and then we're going to be getting rid of more parking and stuff.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Parking's bad.
We've got a real shortage of streetcars in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting to see that they're going to spend a lot of money.
I know when I went downtown the other day.
Car.
And
didn't we just talk about driverless buses the other day?
Yeah. And I was at a stoplight and the light went green, but then I couldn't go because there's this big train in front of me in the middle of the road.
And I always play the game of counting the people on it because I always can.
Yeah. I count it. It went like this. 1. Yeah, it was, and then it went by.
Sam has
and that was
there,
the driver
scouring the internet and finding the top five stories that are floating her boat for a Friday. These are the five stories you need to know to kick off your day.
Number 1.
Dustin Hoffman has been accused of exposing himself to a minor and assaulting two women.
Dustin. Don't do that, really? Dustin.
Is it really that hard to just keep your hands to yourself?
Or just keep it unexposed?
Right.
Or just be
yeah, it takes effort to expose yourself.
That's the thing. It's
not something that's just like, whoops.
Yeah. Oops.
I mean, I suppose it could.
It could. A wardrobe malfunction. From Variety, these were not accidents. Corey Thomas was in high school when she says Dustin Hoffman exposed himself to her in a hotel room. Melissa Kester was a recent college graduate when Hoffman allegedly sexually assaulted her while recording audio for the film Ishtar.
Ooh, that's I don't know which assault is worse.
A third woman who asked to remain anonymous said that Hoffman assaulted her in the back of a station wagon and manipulated her into a subsequent encounter that left her traumatized. According to Variety, the women described predatory incidents involving Hoffman that fit into a pattern of alleged behavior that has emerged in the wake of previous sexual misconduct claims against the now 80-year-old actor. Wow, I didn't realize he was that old.
I didn't realize he was 80. Yeah.
Jeez. Old dude. Yeah. In a letter to Variety's owner, Penske Media Corp., Hoffman's attorney, Mark A. Neubauer of Carlton Fields Jordan Burt, called the accusations against the actor defamatory falsehoods.
Well, if they are true, there's not a whole lot of fear of him doing that now at 80 years old, because he exposes himself in front of a woman. Now they'll just laugh. At least I got a chuckle from Drew.
I'm not laughing.
Look, this is another... The guy's on the... Not an excuse, but here you have a situation where... You know, this will probably end his career, but his career was ending anyway. It's unfortunate that it took this long, once again, to see these things exposed, because it probably is not going to have... It may tarnish his legacy, maybe.
Sure.
But I think when
it certainly changes my opinion of him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's I don't consider myself like a massive Dustin Hoffman fan, but he's been in some movies that I enjoy very much.
Yeah.
And now you're going to kind of watch him and go, like with, and that's what a lot of this is doing. It's taking things that I've previously enjoyed and making me kind of give him a side eye. Like, for example, there have been allegations against Danny Masterson. Who was on that 70s show,
right?
There's been, some rape allegations against him. He's big in the Church of Scientology, and the allegations are that the church has protected him and other members who have abused or assaulted or raped women. And sure enough, that 70s show was on TV the other day. And I'm watching it, and I was like, I'm not enjoying this because just all the scenes with him, knowing what I know about him now, just kind of make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree, and it's going to have the same the same effect on me if I watch any of his films. And I'm bummed out because our monthly viewing of Tootsie and drinking IPAs is now destroyed. So.
That was a fun tradition.
It was. But it probably was. We'll replace it with Mrs. Doubtfire.
Number two.
Union leaders are recommending an approval of a contract to avert Super Bowl transit strikes. From the Star Tribune, leaders of the Twin Cities Bus Drivers Union that threatened to strike during the Super Bowl recommended yesterday that their members approve a contract offer from the Metropolitan Council. If approved, the deal would avert a potentially calamitous disruption during one of the largest events in recent Twin Cities history. The 2,500 members, which include bus drivers, mechanics, and other Metro Transit staff, will vote on Sunday and Monday. Drivers pushed hard for more safety protections after years of assaults by passengers, resulting in a pilot program to install 21 protective barriers beside the driver's seat on some buses. Other points of contention had included driver access to restrooms and the maximum hours worked by part-time drivers, which Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1005 President Mark Lawson said were resolved.
If it's not a conscious realization, then maybe it's a self-conscious situation. But I bet that this gets averted mostly because nobody wants to see the other options that would open up if it didn't happen. This idea that it would be calamitous, no. There would be, especially with the Super Bowl coming to town.
People would figure it out.
Yeah, they'd figure it out.
I got a van. I got an app that you can use your credit card on. I'll drive you around. And a lot of those. And, you know, they don't want it to have that exposed to That's see what other of, options were.
Do some fake Uber.
Yeah, and then they'll be...
right?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Hey, Goober here.
Droober.
Droober!
Droober. Woo! There you go.
It's like Uber, but just for Drews.
Checking IDs.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think there was ever going. I don't think there was ever any real chance there was going to be a strike during the Super Bowl. The unions were probably smartly using this massive event as leverage to get some things in their contract that they've been wanting for a while. And the prospect of a strike hanging over the Met Council's head, you know, going into the Super Bowl was something that they couldn't tolerate. So there were concessions made.
Yeah, it's just a game of chicken.
It's leverage. Yeah, exactly.
Number three.
The FCC voted along party lines to end net neutrality rules yesterday. From CARE 11, the Thursday vote at the Federal Communications Commission will likely usher in big changes in how Americans use the internet, a radical departure from more than a decade of federal oversight. The move not only rolls back restrictions that keep broadband providers like Comcast, Verizon, and AT&T from blocking or collecting tolls from services they don't like, but bars states from imposing their own rules. The broadband industry promises that the internet experience isn't going to change, but its companies have lobbied hard to overturn these rules. Protests have erupted online and in the streets as everyday Americans worry that cable and phone companies will be able to control what they see and do online.
Here's the thing. You can switch your cable company. You can switch your phone company. Yeah. You can switch your internet provider. You can't switch your government. So, you know, by rolling back these regulations, it's actually putting the power back in the hands of you, the consumer.
Right.
You know, if you don't like what your internet service provider is doing, then you have a decision to make. You either live with it and continue to send them money, or you make some sort of changes in your life. You switch companies, or you go to a more wireless. The thing is, you know, in 5 years, this is all going to be obsolete.
Sure. Sure.
You know, wireless internet is becoming more and more prevalent, and it's more and more available in your home. You know, there's going to be a lot more options to get this content that you want, and you won't necessarily have to rely on an internet service provider.
Right. And the arguments across the board were so ignorant and disingenuous, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later on. I know you still have some details here, Sam, but when you a part of this debate that drove me nuts was you had some of the big companies going, no, we don't want this, and then you had some other companies that were big but not as big going, no, we're cool with it, yeah. Well, they were only saying that because they knew they could take advantage of those other companies being suppressed. Mm-hmm. It was all just a matter of, no, we want this net neutrality, yeah, because you knew that you could go and fill in the gaps that were being created because the other individuals were going to be pushed down again. The internet was fine before it, and it's going to be fine after it.
So the growing public movement that has just completely exploded over this issue suggests that the FCC vote won't really be the end of it. Opponents of the move plan legal challenges, and some net neutrality supporters hope to ride this wave of public opinion into the 2018 elections. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, a Republican who said his plan to repeal net neutrality will eliminate unnecessary regulation, called the internet the greatest free market innovation in history. He added that it certainly wasn't heavy-handed government regulation that's been responsible for the internet's phenomenal development.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true. And we've entered a weird time when, you know, all these people that are protesting net neutrality, it's like they're more afraid of Comcast and AT&T and Verizon than they are their government. Yeah. It's like they assign really nefarious and malicious motivations to these corporations that have to earn your business. They have to earn your money.
Right.
You know, you don't have to do business with them. You don't have to send them a check every month. They have to earn that from you. Then, but they completely trust the government to just make everything right.
Well, and
there's zero accountability, and they don't have to earn a damn thing from you.
And the personal aspect of this that I think made the outrage against it that much bigger was that it had this weird thing that doesn't happen often where it was crossing party lines largely because people didn't understand. Everybody wants their internet. right? Everybody uses the internet. And so when you have something that everybody universally, left, right, middle, doesn't matter, everybody loves the internet. There's nobody that hates the internet. So here you have an issue where if that is threatened in any way, it can go and cross party lines. And that was causing a lot of confusion for people because things so often do fall on party lines, and it makes it easy for people to fall on one side without educating themselves over the issue. But I had somebody that, and this is not a slam on them, but just as an example, somebody who's a friend of ours had tweeted at me. He's like, "Well, I don't really have a, you know, I don't really have an opinion either way on this, but why is it a great thing that this got voted down?" It's like, well, no, you do kind of have an opinion, but you're struggling with the fact that you're seeing everybody be outraged over it, and you're thinking you need to be, but at the same time, you're also a smart enough person to know that perhaps maybe there's something there that isn't, you know, that isn't necessarily as bad as what everybody thinks. And it just kind of blossomed into this very weird sort of social outrage that grew with a lack of knowledge behind it.
Yeah, it is one of the quintessential times when you get very uninformed, misinformed, half-informed opinions that get swept up in the outrage, you know, the massive internet outrage of they're going to repeal net neutrality and all these ISPs are going to do all these terrible things, even though there's no evidence that they've ever done them in the past. They weren't doing them before these regulations went into place, and it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense for them to do them now.
Yep.
You're really going to stay with your internet service provider if they want to charge you $20 more a month to watch YouTube?
Well, and there's a key
you're not.
There's a key point in this too, because it talks about this throttling, right? Under the rules, these companies could charge higher fees of rivals, make them pay for higher transmission speeds, blah blah blah.
Could
the next maybe the next sentence? They just have to post their policies online and tell the FCC. Well, yeah. You know, and then that's it. Look, it's bad business to go and tick off your customer base.
Right, yeah.
Because they will leave and go to a place that they're not going
to
get ticked off.
Now they have the option to tick off their customer base.
Right, right. As if they weren't already doing that.
Yeah. But the government kept them from making me mad.
Number 4.
Speaker Paul Ryan says Americans need to have more babies.
What?
From the Hill.
Your country is calling to you, Sam.
What?
I'm just saying. There is a call to duty here.
Leave my womb out of this, please.
Talk to Speaker Ryan, all right? I'm the messenger here. Don't get mad at me.
Don't tell me what to do, Paul Ryan. Speaker Paul Ryan suggested yesterday that Americans need to have more babies or risk a collapse of popular entitlements like Medicare and Social Security, because we're definitely guaranteed to have those things anyway.
Right.
Ryan, a father of three, told reporters that this is going to be the new economic challenge for America. People. Baby boomers are retiring. I did my part, but we need to have higher birth rates in this country. Baby boomers are retiring, and we have fewer people following them in the workforce. He went on to say, we have something like a 90% increase in the retirement population of America, but only a 19% increase in the working population in America. So what do we have to do? Be smarter, more efficient, more technology. Still going to need more people.
You know, there's truth to what he's saying. The reaction to this yesterday online made me laugh.
Dumb.
You know, it's like you've got the Aaron Rupars of the world out there going, "Oh, Paul Ryan is telling women you need to spit out more babies." And it's like, well,
no.
I mean, kind of, but he's making a point that birth rates in this country it is an issue. It is definitely an issue that needs to be looked at, addressed, talked about. It's not something where, you know, government's going to start passing a law like in China where it's like, okay, you got to have this many babies. That's not going to happen. But it's okay to talk about the fact that we got more people retiring than we have entering the workforce.
I just imagine Sam getting a letter from the federal government. Well, Samantha Sansevier, the time has come. You've hit the age where you need to start now.
Yeah, that's the day that I move out of this country.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that reaction.
I'd be like, are you serious?
What?
You got to be kidding me. In 2016, the United States saw a record low fertility rate. There were 62 births for every 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 44, down about 1% from a year earlier. Republicans, such as Paul Ryan, believe Americans need to have more children to replace the millions of baby boomers who are retiring or passing away. Democrats are more open to seeing many in the boomer generation replaced through immigration to offset low birth rates. In addition to boosting the U.S. birth rate, Ryan argued that Congress needs to help those relying on welfare to get back into the workforce. He said, and when we have tens of millions of people right here in this country falling short of their potential, not working, not looking for a job, or not in school getting a skill to get a job, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That is absolutely right.
There's nothing wrong with anything that he said. All he's doing is making observations.
Yeah.
He's providing some commentary. He's not proposing any sort of heavy-handed government solution to make people spit out more kids.
Yeah. Well, and
it is an issue that I think it absolutely warrants being discussed.
I like his point, though. I mean, think about how many people that are just in the country that just aren't doing anything.
Well, and that to me, without having, because I have no tangible evidence of this is strictly just perception. But when you look at the millions of people falling short of their potential, not working, looking for a job, there is, at least in my perception, a complete lack of focus on the importance of families and the importance of a family unit and how this country has grown to be what it is through families. And I don't want to go down the road of devaluing marriage, but in my opinion, that's a part of it as well. But there is something very interesting in what he is saying there, especially when you look at the economy. I'll look at the past 8 years, the way I think these things are cyclical. And unfortunately, right now, we're on a down cycle where you don't see a lot of people that are focused. At my age, when I was growing up, we just talked about this the other day. I made the comment, for as ridiculous as it was, when I was growing up, I was like, yeah, I want to be married by the time I'm 22. That was just me, because I was a relationship guy. And I don't think the majority of millennials out there are thinking in terms of doing the steps, getting a full-time job, meeting somebody, falling in love, getting married, having kids. It's a much, much different dynamic in America right now, and it's resulting in a much lower birth rate than what we have.
Number 5.
The Las Vegas massacre survivors, it's now been 2 months, and they're still saying that they're in the dark.
I was just thinking about this yesterday. Yeah. I saw like a quick blurb, and I was like, we still don't know, right?
Yeah. No, still don't have any answers. From CNN, more than 2 months have passed since 58 country music fans were gunned down in the Las Vegas massacre, and survivors, as well as victims' families, are still searching for some semblance of closure. Authorities have largely gone silent on the case, refusing to answer the many lingering questions, except for a couple of local TV interviews. But one pressing question may get some answers as of yesterday, when a probate judge could decide the future of gunman Stephen Paddock's finances. I've not seen what the results were for that. But since the massacre, more than 450 people have filed lawsuits related to the shooting, many of them against Paddock's estate. He died without a will, and his assets have been estimated to be worth $5 million. His brother said the money should be given to the victims, but nothing can really actually be done until the court decides who's going to manage his assets. Yesterday's hearing could have been the first in a series of steps toward closure for families and shedding light on the case. Media outlets, including CNN, are also fighting in court for the release of public records like body camera footage and 911 calls. Law enforcement wants them held back until its official report is complete, but they won't say when that may come. The lack of information has made it really hard for some survivors to heal mentally and emotionally.
I'm glad to see that there are media outlets that are searching the public records. I'm disturbed. Honestly, I'm disturbed by the fact that you had 59 people that were gunned down in the fashion that they were gunned down, and we don't have a motive, we don't have a reason why, and it's completely left the headlines. I mean, what other circumstances? If that had been a school, a situation? Yeah, I mean, right. And I'm just playing. You know, I'm just doing the hypotheticals. But you know, you place 58 people dead in a lot of different circumstances, and it wouldn't just be glossed over. And I'm not. This isn't me pointing to people who don't care about country music fans or anything like that. The news cycle is what the news cycle is. But to me, it's very disturbing that suddenly now we don't have a motive. We had almost 60 people die in this fashion, and yet. We've just kind of all forgotten about it. The only semblance that makes me happy here is that CNN is doing some digging.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll learn more about this. I share every sentiment you just expressed. Nick Zerwas, Representative Nick Zerwas, is standing by, ready to join us. We're also going to speak with Troy Walker next. We're going to tell you about some really important legislation that they are working on together to help veterans' families.
Yeah. When Brian Miller joins us in studio just after 7 o'clock, the Hennepin County Attorney went to a bunch of activists and said a whole bunch of stuff about how he doesn't have enough to charge Officer Knorr. Yeah. The stuff he said, I don't know. We'll have to talk about it, because I was questioning, he can say that without like tainting a potential jury pool? It's we'll have the audio for you.
Yeah. Well done, Sam. Stellar top five. Stick around. We'll be right back. Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice in Trouble.
AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam. We got the roundtable joining us in studio. Part of that roundtable is already here. We'll introduce our guests here in just a moment. If there are any children or any parents of children that go to Johnsville School in Blaine, I want to apologize ahead of time for my son probably giving out all the spoilers for The Last Jedi at school today.
No, you raised him better than that.
I hope I did.
No, God, please, no, no.
Melinda was going to keep him home from school. On the drive home, she goes, I think I should just keep Kyle home from school. And I thought it was because she was worried about him being up late because it was like 9. I go, he'll get plenty of sleep. She's like, I'm not worried about him sleeping. I'm worried about him giving away spoilers to his fellow classmates.
Spoiler alert. It's a nerdy movie for nerds.
I was going to introduce Nick Zerwas, but unfortunately I can't.
Tough crowd. Jeez, dude.
That's how you want to come back after 2 weeks away?
It's a good movie for good people.
Guys, I hear him, but I don't see him. Where is he?
Hey! Oh, come on!
I forgot to put his step stool in there, sorry.
Yeah.
I need his booster seat.
Yeah, the booster seat's in the car still.
Yeah, dang it. Sorry.
Welcome back, Representative Nick Zerwas.
Yeah, I think I got some books over here, Nick. I got your back.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
The man who laments the demise of the phone books more than anybody I know. That's what I always sit on.
I need a leg up. No, it's good to be back.
Welcome back.
I've traveled for the last few weeks, and it's good to be back. I'll tell you what. You can get away with one business trip with an 18-month-old. Your wife will give you a pass.
Mm-hmm.
The second one.
Especially back-to-back like that? Yeah.
So, I'm super busy at home just trying to be super dad and make stuff up to my bride. And so, if you're some of my friends and you haven't heard from me for a while, it's because I'm real busy at home.
Well, welcome back. It's good to have you back. A couple weeks away, you were doing legislative business in Nashville, right?
Yeah,
attending some conferences and stuff.
Yep, it was two conferences. It was kind of funny. It was two conferences, and they were back-to-back weeks. They're both in Nashville, both in the same hotel.
Just coincidence?
Total coincidence. Yeah. And so the one I go to every year, and then the other one, I serve on a committee. And so I was like, oh, shoot. Looks like I'm going back again because I have to be there for the committee meeting. So, but it's Nashville. So, I mean, it's not like there wasn't fun stuff to do.
And we would be remiss if we didn't say happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Nicky Poodle's birthday.
What, today?
Yeah, right now.
Oh, now I feel bad for making the jokes.
I don't. He deserved it.
And speaking of legislative business, we brought in a friend of yours, Troy Walker. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. You messaged me a couple weeks ago, actually, talking about some legislation that you are working with Representative Zerwas on. Why don't you fill the listeners in on what these efforts are?
That's right. About 5 years ago, my battle buddy, best friend, was severely wounded on July 26, 2003. He was blown up, and he was shot in the back of the head. Oof. On July 26. And 5 years ago, he took his own life. He succumbed to his battle wounds. His wife called me, and my immediately reaction was, when's the funeral? And she said, we're not going to have one. She goes, I'm not going to claim the body because we don't have enough money to pay for the funeral. So I told her that we would pay for it, and I had more battle buddies commit suicide since then, and I've paid for 6 out of 11 of my buddies' funerals. I just paid for a funeral last week of a Vietnam-era vet who had no money when he passed away of cancer. So together, me and Nick are going to try to take the charge and have Minnesota lead the state. And if you can't afford a funeral in Minnesota, we're going to try to pay for it.
And you took on these efforts, I mean, very personally. I see you're wearing your gear. Tell the listeners about Dog Tag Furniture and how that came about and what that does.
Yeah, well, so 5 years ago, I started selling these wooden American flags. They're a little less than 2 by 4 feet. And I would take all the proceeds and use it to pay for these funerals, only thinking that I was just going to pay for like 5 or 6 funerals. I ended up paying for, at to date, almost 30 funerals.
Wow. So,
well, and this is one of the, and I'm glad we'll talk about the legislation, but I just want to add that this is one of those moments, and it's happened all too often in our radio career, where we get somebody who served in the armed forces and seen the same thing in law enforcement, but especially in the armed forces. And you find out about this need, and I'm sitting here going, we're not taking care of this already. I don't, this is again one of those moments where I'm told once more, I'm like, are you kidding me? We're not handling this already for our vets?
So, and that's such a great point, John. So when Troy contacted me and reached out about Doc Day Furniture and the flags he was building and what the mission was, he came to my office in St. Paul, and I bought a flag from him. It's amazing. Highly recommend. Makes a great Christmas gift. Not that anyone of my friends knows what they're getting for Christmas. And what's amazing about this story is he was giving me the background, and I went, well, wait a minute. I'm obviously not a veteran, didn't serve, but I guess assumed incorrectly.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. There's a VA death benefit. This is all taken care of. And so what costs are involved that aren't covered? And I think Troy would help the listeners if you kind of walked through what is covered and what isn't, because I know it really stunned me when I saw for our heroes that come back and continue to struggle with the effects of the war and the battle, and if the worst comes, what their family has actually provided by the Army, I think, is pretty stunning.
I'll give you a couple of really sad statistics. My company had 67 soldiers in it. We lost 10 in Iraq. We lost 11 to suicide since we came back. So that's 21 out of 67. A veteran who dies receives $300 in burial benefits. If they die at the VA, they receive another $749. That's why you see a lot of these veterans committing suicides at VA hospitals, to try to get that extra $749. Also, on top of that, the VA charges $30 for the flag to be draped across your coffin. If you die in combat, the military only gives you $2,100 for burial expenses. You're expected to pay the rest of the funeral cost out of your life insurance policy that you may or may not elect to have.
And so I think I was under the misnomer that this was being taken care of already through military or VA benefits. And so when Troy came and talked to me, one of my first questions was, okay, when we talk about families in need that don't have the financial wherewithal to cover final expenses within Minnesota, and we talk about veterans that pass away in Minnesota per year, and out of that, families that can't provide for a funeral expense. When he told me about his battle buddy, where the family was at the point where they weren't going to claim their hero's body because they couldn't afford the funeral, to the point where Troy went out there, made these flags out of scrap wood he found, strapped them to his back, and went door to door to raise money for that first funeral. That's how Dog Day Furniture began.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Troy shared that story with me, my question was, how can the state of Minnesota step in to fill this gap? I see funding proposal after funding proposal that, you know, I know everyone has a pet project, but it makes your eyes roll back in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some of that stuff, being very generous, get funded in the legislature. And then to hear about veterans, families that can't afford to bury their war hero. And so my question to Troy was, how many families per year are we talking about? How many funerals per year? What's the average cost? What does this look like? How do we put together a bill so that for the families that can't afford these funerals for their service members, how do we have the state of Minnesota set up a program to step in? And Troy kind of filled in the gaps for me.
Yeah. Unfortunately, out of 72,000 veteran organizations in America today, I'm the only one that provides financial assistance for funerals. That's why Pete Hegg said he's reached out to me, and I've been on Fox News quite a bit, because I am the only person that does this. And what we're able to do is I'm able to step in, and I do a means test with these families, and they supply the proper paperwork, and we're able to make a decision within an hour in my board. I immediately call my board up and say, hey, this is what we got. Here's the documents. How much can we afford to pay for it? And what we do is we negotiate with the funeral homes, and we can pay for a funeral, full military honors, in a national cemetery for $2,100. That includes a coffin, embalming transportation of the body. So we're looking at $2,100, and that's even, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start making our own coffins at Dog Tag Furniture.
Okay.
So we can sell them at cost for $250 to the funeral homes.
651-999-5855. We do have a call from Thomas in St. Paul. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, I just got connected when I heard some of the figures on that. I'm a veteran, and it was my understanding that that one of the benefits of service was that the federal government would give you a burial. My grandfather, who was a veteran of World War II, he had that, and I don't understand why this is not trumpeted from the hilltops as a federal issue, and our delegation, the Minnesota delegation, is involved here. I think it's an absolute disgrace.
I agree. I am always baffled by the lack of sort of desire on the part of the government, a federal government or even state governments, to step in and take care of people who have served. It seems to me an absolute no-brainer, especially if you're a combat veteran. If you're a combat veteran, if you're a veteran of any sort, you, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what it costs. You're taken care of for life. Whatever you need, you should be getting the best health care. You should be able to walk into any doctor's office or any hospital, get what you need, show them a card, and it's covered.
We'll have more details on this and the information you need coming up. Comedian Brian Miller will be joining us in the studio right now. We have Troy Walker and Representative Nick Zerwas. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Broadcasting on AM 1130, 103.